This is the Mason Vera Payne Show, your go-to lifestyle program, covering everything from technology and gaming, to movies, TV shows, and pop culture, to the supernatural and beyond. Brought to you from Chicago, USA, with your host, the unabridged millennial, Mason Vera Payne.
Mason Payne here, live from the MVP studios in Chicago, and thank you for tuning in. Executive editor at CNET News, Ian Scherer, is going to join me to break down the latest Apple product releases and explain what device throttling is. Thanks for joining me, Ian.
Thanks for having me.
All right, so when it comes to iPhone, I know Apple has come out with three different phones. Could you elaborate about them?
The differences of them are pretty minor, which is really interesting. So the XR is, I like to call it the rainbow edition. It has all these different colors that it comes in, and it's the cheapest of the bunch. It starts at $750. The big thing about it is that it's rather fast. It's got a really strong camera and all that stuff. But what's interesting is that the XS, the next step up, the $999 one, has a higher quality screen, and on the back, it has two cameras, one that's a zoom-in and one that's a normal camera. So with the XR, you get kind of a lower quality, you know, less capable camera, but our reviews over at CNET say that it is very worth the money and actually one of the most highly valued iPhone for the price that you're going to get. So you will not go wrong with the XR. The XS, like I said, has the better screen and the better camera. The XS Max is bigger, right? It's actually got more screen real estate. You're able to fit more on the screen, and it has a bigger battery. So for that one, you're paying a little extra as well. But that's the big differences between them. Otherwise, the guts are pretty much the same.
What about battery life? Is that the same too?
The XR, again, the cheaper one, is actually the best on battery life. You know, Apple's own data shows that it can do better than the XS and the XS Max. And our own research over at CNET with our reviews have shown that it performs really well with battery. So oddly enough, the cheapest of the group will get you the best battery life.
Now, when I was looking at the XR, apparently, it has a larger screen than the XS. Why did they decide to do that?
Yeah, it's interesting to, you know, it's always hard to kind of figure out the tea leaves of what Apple's thinking. But it seems as though part of the way that Apple has decided that it thinks it can sell a quote-unquote budget phone is that it knows that we are all really big fans of big phones. I mean, generally speaking, there are obviously people who don't like them, but for the most part, the whole world has moved in this direction. And you see almost all the phones out there have big screens these days. So offering a budget phone with a slightly bigger screen is a pretty good bet if you can swing the costs, and obviously Apple has.
Okay, so when it comes to the resolution, and I don't know why this is important to me, but it is. When it comes to the XR, it's 326 PPI, which is pixels per inch, and
right.
The XS is 458. That doesn't seem like a lot. So when you're trying to compare it, when you're trying to, I guess, visualize it, does it look crisper? Is it brighter? What's the difference in that?
In theory, it has a kind of, it offers sharper images, and it's able to put more information into the screen at every little point in it. For most of us, you're not going to be able to tell a difference. And the reason is that the 320-some-odd range is what we call retina, which is what the eye can't tell the difference between all the dots on the screen. So for most people, this isn't going to matter. But one of the benefits of the XS and the XS Max is they're able to put more information on the screen. So as a result, they're going to have, for example, if I have a web page open on the XR, the XS, and the XS Max, I'm going to see less of the web page on the XR. I'll see more of it on the XS. I'll see even more of it on the XS Max. That's really the difference, is how often you have to flick your thumb.
So when it comes to the XS and the XR, which one would you recommend to get?
You know, over at CNET, we tend to say that, the XR was the best bang for your buck. So if you're looking to buy a phone and you don't really care about having a zoom lens on the back of your phone, and you don't really care that much about the screen quality, again, I mean, Apple's screens are universally considered to be excellent. So, you know, we're talking about a good enough screen anyway. But if you don't care about those two things, you should totally go for the cheaper one. That's what we said over at CNET. But if you feel like you want a premium-looking screen, you want that zoom-in camera on the back, then yeah, you want to fork out a little extra money.
Now, when it comes to iPhone, I have to ask, because it was a big deal like a couple months ago, maybe even a year ago, headphone jacks, is it really gone for good?
It seems as though the headphone jacks are starting to, we're playing taps for them over the next couple of years. You know, it's interesting. I think what's happened is that wireless headphones have gotten so good at this point that they are able to replace a lot of what we need these wired headphones to be. They're cheaper generally. I mean, there are some of them that we've shown deals for on CNET for like $15. They're not the best, but they work. And then obviously Apple's own AirPods, which they've been selling for a couple of years now, are very popular. And those are wireless versions of the EarPods that you get in the box. So it seems as though the world is moving into a wireless direction. And if you don't have one yet, odds are then in the next few years you're going to be using a wireless headset. So I think the headphone jack in general is gone for good.
I don't know why I'm disappointed in that. That disappoints me a little bit. I feel like I'm being left behind because I still like headphone jacks.
Well, look, you know, I think that this is part of the challenge of technology is that, especially when it comes to Apple, they are very aggressive about getting rid of stuff. I mean, they were some of the first people to get rid of a floppy disk. You may remember this back in the turn of the millennium with the iMac. It was a big deal. A lot of people said that this was a bad idea. And Apple even sold a floppy disk drive that you could buy and attach to it. People made fun of them for it. And then we all got rid of floppy disks. They did the same thing with the DVD drive with the MacBook Air back when they announced that thing. You know, they took out the DVD drive. Everyone said, this is nuts. We're not ready for it. Now, a lot of the laptops sold today don't have DVD drives. So Apple may be a little bit ahead of the curve, but it's worth noting that a lot of different phone manufacturers have followed their lead, in part because by removing the headphone jack, they have extra room for your battery, which I think a lot of people, if you were asked them, do you want more battery life or do you want a headphone jack, most people are going to say they want more battery life.
Now, you're right about that. Apple is the leader of the tech industry, and one of the things they know people love is colors. So when it comes to their phone colors, I noticed that the 10R, they have more color options than the others. Why'd they do that?
Yeah. I think it's part of the selling point, right? The 10R is supposed to be kind of fun and the rainbow version and all of that. And so by offering all of these different colors, it's kind of a way to give it something special. And look, it's very possible that the XS and the XS Max or whatever the next iPhone 11, whatever the next year's iPhone, will have all these different colors. But Apple's always tried to offer something different and special in every price point of device they sell. So, you know, I have a feeling that in terms of at least the cheaper options, they're probably going to keep a bunch of different colors to kind of make it seem fun and exciting in a different way than the more expensive versions.
If I'm dropping $1,000 and I want blue, I don't see why I can't have blue though.
Well, that's why there are cases, right? You can always put a case on it, and then it gets to be any color you want, or you can have the Spider-Man logo on it. So, you know, I think that's part of, you know, what's interesting. I have been putting a case on my phone for, gosh, at least 4 or 5 years now. And, you know, I tend to get myself, I'm a white iPhone person. I used to be a gold iPhone person. But the first thing I did whenever I got it is I put it in a case, and then I didn't really see the color. So, you know, it's about who you are in general. But I don't see these things as being that big a deal, but everyone's different.
I'm glad you said about who you are. And for a lot of people, when it comes to Apple phones, it's about status, right? So I have to ask, iPhone XS Max, is it worth the status symbol?
You know, I don't think, as someone who tends to purchase stuff as a utility and not so much a status symbol, I don't think that I would spend $1,100 just to be able to show it off. But I will say that the features of it are very beneficial. I mean, I am someone who reads and writes on my phone. I've actually, back when I used to work for the Wall Street Journal before I worked here at CNET, I filed front page stories from my phone a number of times. So having that extra screen real estate is very valuable, but it's about what you value, right? If you think that you are using your phone every day, it's really important. It's part of your work and your life, and it's going to make a difference for you. You should absolutely consider spending that much money. But if it doesn't matter that much to you, or there are things that are more important, I don't think it's worth it.
When it comes to Apple devices, I have to admit, I don't own one. I want to own one, but the thing that scares me the most is I always read about Apple throttling their devices. So let's say you have, you know, an iPhone 6. This just came out 10. They're going to throttle the 6 to force you to upgrade. Is that true, or is that just a rumor?
So it's a rumor and it's true. So there's kind of an in-between here, which is that Apple last year admitted that they do slow down phones, but the reason is not to force you to upgrade. And I know a lot of people will say, well, come on, they're going to give you whatever reason they want. But the reason they said they do this is because the battery over, you know, a few years, the quality of the battery degrades because you're charging it, then you're decharging it, then you're charging it, and it gets worn out. And they said that over time, what happens is that if you're running the phone at full speed and you have a worn-out battery, your phone is more likely to crash or turn off randomly and stuff like that. And they don't want that to happen to you. So they were slowing down the phones to make sure that you wouldn't have a bad experience. Now, the problem is they weren't very forthright about that. They had to be basically outed for doing it, and then they admitted it and turned into a big disaster of a PR situation. And eventually they offered a feature now in all of the phones to disable that feature if you want to, so that your phone runs at full speed all the time, but that means it might crash if it has a bad battery in it. So, you know, one way you can solve this is that Apple offers battery replacements for something like $30, and suddenly, boom, your phone's running at full speed again. So it's a lot about the technology of batteries and how Apple's responding to it than them trying to force you to upgrade. And that might seem like cold comfort to a lot of people, but that's what they say they're doing.
I never understood Apple products, to be honest with you. I am always a PC person because I can replace things when I want to replace them. So if the sound card or if the graphics card is a little bit old or I need it to be a little bit more powerful, I'll go buy a new one, boop, put it back in. And with Apple, you can't do that. But man, their stuff is always really cutting edge. So it's kind of like, I'm always on the edge. Should I get one or should I not?
Well, and I mean, that's part of, you know, who you are. I mean, look, there's a lot of the reviews out there, including over at CNET, where we do praise a lot of the competitors for Apple. I mean, we think that the newest Pixel phones from Google are very good. We are big fans of the Samsung phones as well. And there are other ones as well, by the way, that we think are really strong contenders. And we have them all. We have all those reviews on CNET. So if you're not an Apple person, that's absolutely fine. But part of what has gotten me to stick with Apple personally is that I am a big fan of knowing that my phone is taken care of in terms of security. And one of the things that Apple does that a lot of the competitors do not is that every time they come out with a software update with extra security features, every one of the iPhones they support, and they support them going back like 5 years, every one of the iPhones gets an upgrade automatically. And they are made sure that they are as secure as possible. And this year, Apple has a little feature in its latest software, iOS 12, which all of the phones get for free, and that will automatically update your phone, and you don't even have to think about it. You don't have to push any buttons. It just happens while you're asleep at night. So that's a thing that's really something that I've appreciated, and that's something that Apple seems to do a lot of its design around, is making sure that they're thinking about those types of things that kind of make you think, okay, I don't have to worry about this anymore.
See, and that's what I mean. When it comes to Apple, they have a lot of quality care when it comes to their products. Like, you know, it's not going to be garbage. I just don't like I can't replace things.
Well, and look, everybody's different. And, you know, look, a lot of the tech industry generally has also moved more in Apple's direction. I mean, it used to be that there was a big controversy in the tech industry about whether or not you could replace your battery. That was a huge deal, especially when Apple showed up at first back in 2007, and they did not have the ability to change your battery. A lot of people, including BlackBerry, you remember them, or Palm, you remember those people, they said, oh, well, we don't force you to stick with you can change it anytime you want. Well, those people ended up going out of business or getting bought or losing their status. So, the whole industry has kind of followed Apple's model, but that doesn't mean that there aren't people out there who are like you who want to be able to have those options. And there are phones and computers out there for them, but generally speaking, a lot of people seem to be okay with this.
Now jumping to another category with an Apple iPad. I didn't even know that they were coming out with a new one. Could you tell me a little bit about it?
Yeah, so this is called the iPad Pro. And what they did is that they changed it in a lot of the ways that they changed the iPhone X last year. So one of the things about the iPhone X was that it got rid of the home button, which for those of you who have been using iPhones for quite a while, that's where your fingerprint sensor is. It's how you move around the phone. You hit the little home button to go home. And they got rid of all of that, and they made it a whole screen, and they replaced it with swiping your thumb up and down and all sorts of random stuff like that. So now with the iPads, they're doing the same thing. They got rid of the home button. They made it so you are able to use your face to unlock the phone, which they say is much more secure than using your fingerprint. And what they did is they made it seem just much more sleek and stuff like that. The other thing is that they say the chips inside are far more capable. They say it's almost competitive with the computers that you can buy out there, which means that it's able to do stuff like run Adobe Photoshop, the real Adobe Photoshop, not just a watered-down version. And that's really interesting. We'll see whether or not that changes people's minds about it and turns it into what Apple says is eventually going to be the replacement for your laptop. But it's a really fascinating device, and it just goes to show Apple really wants to push hard on these ideas.
When it comes to the Face ID, okay, like if I turned my face slightly to the right or left, does that ruin it or would that still work? Like, do you have to look at it directly?
For the most part, it works pretty well. You have to work pretty hard to kind of ruin it. The way that it's designed, you actually look into the camera for it to even turn on. So actually, it won't respond to you if you're not looking directly at it. And so I've never tried, like, turning my face to it but still putting my eyes up to it. But generally speaking, it works pretty well. And I have not had trouble where I've had to, like, turn my face a lot to make it work. Part of the reason for that, by the way, is that it's not taking a photo. Like, a lot of the face unlock on other phones, they use a photograph of your face or a video of your face. With this thing that Apple designed, this Face ID, it's actually using sensors that send out dots on your face that you can't see. They're infrared. And they're able to actually identify your face through that, and they're not using a photo at all. So it's actually rather advanced, which is why they say that it has a 1 in a million chance of being cracked and hacked versus the fingerprint sensor that most of our phones have, which has a 1 in, I believe it's 50,000 chance of being hacked.
Man, that's absolutely amazing. The technology that Apple produces, it's amazing, because I'm thinking to myself about what happens if I just cried. I just saw a really sad movie. I'm crying. My face is puffy. And because they're using dot technology and not picture technology, it would still turn on for me.
Right. And in fact, even if you, if you're like me, you grew a beard at some point, or, you had a mustache, or even if you put on a hat, in a lot of cases, this still works. It even works with my sunglasses on. So Apple, I mean, that's part of what has always helped them kind of stay ahead of the curve, is that they are often not the first with the technology. Like, Face Unlock existed in other phones before. But really what they do is that they tend to come in and really try to nail it and make it easy to use in a way that others don't. And look, there are plenty of other companies that have really great technology. Apple is not alone in this regard, but they are very highly respected, and they are a leader of the industry. People follow their trends, and with good reason.
Well, Ian, thank you so much for joining me. I appreciate you being here. For those listening, where can they find more information about you?
Yeah, of course, I'm on Twitter, as are many people, at Ian Schur, or you can always read my stuff on CNET.com.
This has been the Mason Vera Payne Show. Thanks for listening. Can't wait to hear more? Head to WGNradio.com for exclusive content by Mason. Also, follow Mason on Facebook and Twitter at Mason Vera Payne, that's all one word, and don't forget to share the show with your friends.